one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
For some time I've been thinking, and I think every preacher needs to think often, of the importance of his calling. You know, we preach on the text, where's the Lord God of Elijah? Where's the Lord? And we preach sometimes on where's the Spirit that used to be prevalent in the churches. But the question I want to ask myself and you, but as I preached and dictated this message or along this line, my heart was stirred again, and tears bathed my cheeks again as I fell off of my chair on my knees and said, Lord, this is what I need too. And so I don't want any preacher to think that I'm trying to criticize or be ugly or be hard to get along with or certainly condemn my preacher brethren, because the Lord knows that I appreciate the preachers. And I think the older you get, the more you want somebody to come along and be ready to take the old King James torch and go on. And I do mean exactly that. And for these years that I've been preaching, I've preached out of one Bible. I mean the King James Version, which to me has met all of my personal needs. When I was lost, it convicted me and I was saved. When I was stumbling through life as a useless Christian and member of the church, it revealed to me the will of God. And then it provided my provisions as I went off to Baylor University. And through these many years and many dark valleys and some steep mountains, I've climbed by the grace of God and launched and plunged year after year by faith. And the Bible has shown me the way and revealed to me the perfect will of God for my life. I haven't always done it. I'd be quick and first to say that. But I know one thing, the will of God's in the Word of God. And there's no need anybody going wrong as long as you've got a Bible. I'm getting more letters than I've ever gotten in my life saying, Brother Roloff, I'm unable to find help. I mean, who can I counsel with? Where can I go? I can always say, go to your Bible. I believe the Holy Spirit will reveal to you His will if you'll just humble. He said, if any man will do the will of God, doctrine, John chapter 7:17, if any man will do the will of God, the doctrine shall be made known to him. You girls many times are perplexed and say, where am I going from here? Well, do the best while you're here and wait till that comes. And when you leave, I believe the Lord will begin to reveal to you and show you where you need to go. Living grace, day by day. You have your Bible, turn with me, please, to chapter 10, the book of Romans. I have two great texts tonight that I want to share with you. And you pray now that we might have an old-fashioned preaching service where the truth will fall out in pleasant lines, as the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Didn't say a teacher did it. Didn't say a religious femme. It didn't say a book report. It said, how shall they hear without a preacher? I believe, and I really am convinced of this, I believe the greatest trouble in America today is we're running short of preaching preachers. And I can prove it before I'm through. I mean, I'll prove it to my own satisfaction. I'll promise you that. I believe that the key man today in the downfall of America is the preacher. And I believe that the key man that's been in the success and the blessings on America has been the preacher. I'll guarantee you, when Elisha saw Elijah go up, you know what he called him? He saw him going through the air and he said, my father, the horses and chariots of Israel, down to they go. You know what that meant? Standing army. Yonder goes our protection, not yonder. Old brother Elijah. Brother, he stood in the palace of the king, or he stood in the garden of Naboth, and told old Ahab just exactly, if I could put it in common parlance, how the cow ate the cabbage. I mean, he dropped the hammer on him, said, "You sorry rascal, you." I mean, actually, that's what he let him know. Old Ahab said, "Art thou he who troubleth Israel? You old troublemaker, you." Never preacher ever preached the truth been a troublemaker. I've made trouble for Corpus Christi for 27 years. I've made trouble everywhere I've ever gone. Not for God's people, just for the devil's crowd. Why, the God's people have been the happiest people in the world. We've gotten along so splendidly, and I believe I'm more patient and easy to get along with than I've ever been in my life, because we ought to be, as we go, we ought to be full of grace and truth, and we ought to be full of love and compassion. And so it's certainly not a desire of mine to just stir up unnecessary trouble, but you can't keep from stirring up trouble when you preach the gospel. And so he called him, he said, "Are you the one that's troubling Israel?" "No, sir," he said, "you the troublemaker. And your wife has stirred it up. Old Jezebel has stirred you up to work wickedness." And he said, "I've got news for you, Mr. Ahab. You may be the king, but the dogs of the street are going to lick your blood in the streets of Jezreel." And I'll guarantee you that's exactly what happened. Elijah told him, he said, "Them old dogs that run the streets of Jezreel will lick up your unworthy blood because of what you've done to Naboth and his two boys, taking his vineyard away." And he said, "I'll tell you something else." He said, "The dogs are going to eat the body of your wife, the queen. They're going to eat her up one of these days." And 3 years later, Ahab was being driven down the street with his blood running out from the arrows that had been shot into his body. And those old long, ribby-looking, languished, dogs came down the street and licked up the water that they washed the carriage with, trying to get a little something to eat. Human blood. And 20 years later, when they pitched the carcass of old wicked Jezebel down and she spattered in the street, the dogs came and ate everything about her except her devilish hands that wrote the death plot for Naboth, and that nasty brain of hers that concocted such a dirty plan. And brother, God meant exactly what he said, and he said it through a man called Elijah the prophet. And he's still preaching and speaking, and he'll do it through men. And we need preachers today. Our church is in the fix they are because of sorry Casper Milk Toast preaching. We need some preachers today. I believe we need preachers today. Said, "How can they hear without a preacher? How are they going to hear without a preacher?" We had somebody in the service mixed up in a church with all this modern new lyrics and all this bunch of half church and half hippie music and all this bunch of rock and roll and this bunch of combos and a bunch of junk coming up in the pulpits today, leaving out Amazing Grace. And he said, "I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I want to get away from it." And he said, "I'm ready to pull out." And yet, that's the way we're trying to win the world, is to live like the world, sound like the world, sing like the world, look like the world, smell like the world, drag around like the world. You'll never win the world like that. Never! God's preachers have never been able to compromise and have victory from the Lord. I'm talking about preaching tonight. Let me give you my main text now so you can begin to think about them. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. What a tremendous chapter this is. You may read it all when you get home or to your room tonight, but I'll begin reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? "Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." And then I want you to notice what he called. Verse 26. "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, Not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Then turn with me, please, for that context. You know, the old preachers used to always have a text and a context. A context means ones that goes with one. They usually took a text from the Old Testament and said our New Testament context. Well, we'll give you a context tonight, found in Titus. In Titus chapter 1, verse 3. But hath in due times, that's the only time God ever pays attention to, is due time. In due times manifested His word through preaching. Hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto us according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now then, how does God reveal Himself? Through preaching. Through preaching. Turn with me, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7. Whereunto I'm ordained a preacher. That's real ordination there. I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Lifting up what kind of hands? Holy hands. Well, you could read on that, couldn't you? In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Reckon how women got so far away from that. How did we ever just completely forsake the ship of real chastity and modesty? I mean, how did we ever get so far? Women, think it over. Pray about it. And then wonder sometimes if God's blessing you like He did the holy women of old, who had their main decorations on the inside. We could read a little further if you wanted to. All right? But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. I don't mind a woman of the world looking like a woman of the world, but I tell you, when God's women and God's ladies begin to look like the women of the world, that's not right. Which becometh women professing what? Godliness. If you profess to be a godly woman, then you ought to look like one and act like one. And the verse 11 said, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. People say to me, Brother Olaf, what do you suppose that means? Why, I suppose it means what it said. Amen. I didn't have any trouble understanding that. It just said, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. I believe if the men would take their place like they ought to, the women would get back in their place. Men ought to be the leaders. Say what you please. This is just plain Bible truth, and these are some of the things that we've gotten away from. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, and it'll be verse 5. Let's see maybe if the gospel is to have any fruit, and see what he has to say about it. All right. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Now, is Corpus Christi living ungodly? Is America living ungodly? He said, you got an example. You got an example of those that should after live ungodly. There's destruction going to come. And so he said, Noah was what kind of a man? He was a preacher. What did he preach? He preached righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Dear friend, you can turn into the New Testament, and you'll find John came a-preaching, Jesus came a-preaching, and the Bible said they repented at the preaching of Jonah. One man. Have you ever thought about that? No publicity, no welcome committee, no organization, no arrangement, no nothing. God called, and the thing about it is God called a backslidden, disobedient preacher to do the preaching. Must have been running off a short of preachers back there. But he called a man by the name of Jonah and said, I want you to go down to Nineveh and cry against that city because their sin has come up before me and I want you to go preach. And Jonah, the Bible said, went down and got him a ship going to Tarshish, which is in the wrong direction, and he paid the fare and a storm arose at sea. What a storm they had. And that bunch of heathens began to unload the ship and throw everything they had overboard. And directly one of them, they all prayed to every god they could think of. And one of them said, say, we had a stowaway around here. Where's that guy that bought him a ticket? Where's he? Well, said, go find him. He may have a god in, that he could talk to. Said, we're going to need all help we can get. I mean, look like our god just not doing too good. And this old storm is not letting up a bit. Go down there and see where he is. Went down there and you know where they found him? Found him right where the church is now. Sound asleep. Right where the average preacher is today. Unstirrable. Never gets stirred up about nothing unless it's a football game or a television program. I'm talking about preaching tonight. And so he went out and said, listen, wake up thou sleeper and call upon God if you have one. Jonah said, oh me. I sure got one, all right. That's reading this storm on y'all, too. They cast lots. You remember that? They didn't know how to find the will of God. They just cast lots. And, of course, it fell right on top of old Jonah. Backslidden preacher caused the storm. Are you listening, brother? If a backslidden preacher caused a storm to come on the heathen world back there, then he'll do it again. That's exactly why we're in the storm we're in right now. I mean, I'm talking to Brother Roloff tonight, and I'm not trying to be self-righteous or overly pious. I'm just simply saying, if all of us preachers would preach the truth, Jeremiah said, if you'd have warned the people of the sins and preached the statutes and the word of God, then I would have turned them from their sin. I believe that's right. Let me ask you this. What turns you little old girls to righteousness from sin? Preaching. Preaching, preaching. I mean, that's what God uses. He'll never substitute. I'm not against all films. Fact is, I've got some surprises for our girls in one of these days. And there'll be some refreshing things coming in here that we're going to have regularly. But I'll tell you one thing. There'll never be a film in this church take the place of preaching the Word of God. I never permitted it while I was pastor. Never did one time. I believe that preaching is God's main means, and we need preachers that'll preach the unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus. The Bible said Jesus came a-preaching. The Bible said in Luke 8, chapter 1, he went through every city and village preaching and showing glad tidings. Mark 9 in verse 6 said he went through the towns a-preaching. Acts 8. Turn with me, please. Acts 8. You know the book of Acts is actually the church at work when it had the power of God upon it. And in the book of Acts, chapter 8, and verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere. What were they doing? Preaching the word. Preaching the word. My, listen, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached. What did he preach? Preached Christ unto them. Turn a little further in the chapter. Ethiopian eunuch, after a revival had been sort of, at least the preacher had been sent on down the road and came to this desert road, and he found this man riding along in the carriage. And this was a deacon by the name of Philip. And the Ethiopian eunuch got together and he said, go join thyself to him. And the Bible said, Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, verse 30. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I except some dear lady teach me or guide me? No, that's not what it said. And praise God for Bible women. But it happened to be that how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. He was reading the book of Isaiah about being led as a sheep to the slaughter. Like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so openeth he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Listen, one of the secrets of loving, wonderful joy in preaching is to be able to open at any scripture and preach Jesus. When you miss Jesus in the Bible, you miss the Bible. When you miss salvation by grace, you miss salvation. When you miss the truth about Jesus, who's the grand subject of the Bible and the center of the entire Word of God. You know what Jesus said one day? He said, I came to do thy will, as it is written in the volume of the book, to do thy will. About me. Did you know what the Bible's written about? Jesus. You know the one man that the Bible talks about? You know the man that the Bible prophesied about? Jesus in the Old Testament. You know the man that fulfilled that prophecy? It was Jesus. You know the man that the Bible talks about in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Just one man. His name was Jesus. You know who all the letters were written about to the churches? It's just Jesus. That's right. You know the final book of the Bible that was written, the book of Revelation? You know it was the revelation of what? Jesus Christ. Not the revelation of John. It's revelation of Jesus Christ. Brother, the whole Bible from Genesis to the book of Revelation is centered in and around our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 10, verse 36. Will you read with me, please? 10 and verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He's Lord of all. Now then, we've been trying to win peace, haven't done it, never will. We've tried to fight our way through peace. We never will have peace through a bloody battlefield. Never will. Those are carnal swords, and Jesus said, put up thy sword again, because he that takes the sword shall perish with the sword, and that's exactly what the world is doing. We've led ourselves white financially and spiritually because of our godless wars. I don't know of a war that we ever have, but what it's either a material warfare, or it's a religious warfare. One of the two. It's either for money or it's for some religion somewhere. And many people have been killed in religious crusades, what they call the Christian. They were unchristian crusades. 15 children being killed in one day because of a godless church and religion told their people, if you'll go fight for our denomination, if you please, you won't even stop on your way after death to heaven. You'll go right on straight in. We've had some people that preach that, and some of our leaders, some of our political leaders preached to the boys and told the boys, if you die on the battlefield, it certainly means you're dying for your country and you'll go straight to heaven. Not if they're not saved, they'll go straight to hell from the battlefield. Let me tell you something, God doesn't have but one plan, and without Christ, you're going to go to hell. That's the only place you could go. And without the say, you can join all the churches in town. You can fight a dozen battles and get oak leaf clusters stuck all over you. And every medal that Uncle Sam can give you. And without Christ, you'll bust hell wide open. And I don't want you to, but that's exactly what's going to happen to you. And you girls can stay here in the Rebecca home and hear the gospel preached and bow your little stubborn neck and harden your heart and blind your eyes and turn against Jesus. You can live here till you as old as Sarah was. And you'll go to hell until you get saved. Just being here is not going to save you. Just being around God. Judas was around Jesus and he went to hell. Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden where there was no sin. And yet both of them denied God and turned their back on him.
We're happy you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. Our message today was Running Short on Preachers. Now to receive this message, ask for offer number R-O-32-45-32-45. To help us cover shipping and handling, we ask for a gift of $10. We'd also like to have today's date and the call letters to the radio station that you are now listening to. To order by credit card, it's 1-800-772-7507. And our address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403.
What a shepherd's voice that calls by night, a seated on the ground, the angel of the
With Christmas rapidly approaching, our special offer this year is An Old-Fashioned Christmas by the Rebecca Choir and Brother Roloff reading the Christmas story. Plus, While He Thought, a message about Joseph and Mary at the time of Christ's birth. Some of the most familiar songs are O Come Let Us Adore Him, O Come All You Faithful, and many, many more. We accept credit cards by calling 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. Now, to receive the music and the message, include at least $15 for the offer. That's $15. And the offer number is RO335-12. Or again, the offer is An Old-Fashioned Christmas, offer number 335-12. And include a gift of at least $15. Our toll-free number is 1-800-772-7507. And the address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. This is Gene Price, hoping that you all will have a wonderful holiday season, that you can worship and praise Him for His many, many blessings.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee, to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea.